like the opportunities that come to me. Not as frequently these days as in the past, but I do appreciate very much the opportunity to speak to speak to you today. And hopefully our lesson will be one that will be profitable to you. One of the things that I tried to do whenever I was teaching Bible classes up at Athens Bible School a number of years ago, especially when I was studying the book of Acts with the students, was to, when we were talking about the journeys of Paul, was to get them to imagine that they were on the boat or that they were on the road and to observe through their mind's eye the things that took place as Paul went from place to place and preached the gospel and met various individuals and was able to convert many to Christ, to observe the kinds of people that he spoke to, treatment that he received, and things of that nature. What I want us to do this morning, I've always been fascinated with books and movies, television shows that dealt with time travel. I know it's fantastic, but it's always a fantasy of mine. Think about going back in the past and living among those people and seeing the things that happened firsthand. Well, I've often wondered how many of us living today, if we'd been living in the first century, would have been receptive to the kind of preaching that was done by various ones, like John the Baptist, like Peter, like the Apostle Paul. And most of us would probably say, well, we accept it today. We're receptive to it today. Sure, we would have been receptive then. We would have accepted whatever it was that they taught. But maybe that's because of the fact that what they taught has become more or less socially acceptable. Think about the fact these men went among people who didn't even know about God. Many of them. They went among people who had known God, but they had drifted away from God, living their own way according to their own system. And the appeal of those who went was to for them to return to God and to come back. It wasn't socially acceptable. Many of the folks didn't want to hear that message. Certainly the ones who were being told the gods they were serving were not really gods. They didn't like that. And Paul was put at risk, stoned, as a matter of fact, because of the fact that he was a, as they described it, a setter forth of strange gods. They were the ones who had the strange gods. They were the ones who had concocted all of this in their minds and were falling down before idols and images that they themselves had made. More often than not, the preaching that was, or the kind of preaching, the message that was preached by the apostles then and others, is today set forth in a very non-offensive way. I remember Brother Lee. Had Brother Lee as an algebra teacher and as a mentor in more ways than one. I remember one time him telling me about a man that he knew who was supposed to be a gospel preacher who would preach to the congregation and just really dress the devil down, you know. He'd really give him a chewing out. And all those people who would be doing the things that the devil would urge them to do. But then he would almost apologize by saying, now I know none of you folks are guilty of any of that. Took away his message. Took away the force of that which he sought to impress the people with, or apparently did, in the message that he had presented. But how was the truth originally presented? How did these men in the first century, how did they go about preaching their message? What did they say? What kind of men were they? If we've been there and hearing these men, would we have believed them? Well, I hope the challenge our thinking along this line. And imagine then that you're back there. Would you have believed a man like that backwoods preacher, John the Baptist? He did his preaching in the wilderness, forcing people to come out to hear him. I wonder how many people today would do what even people did even a few years ago. I mentioned the fact that Brother Lee was my mentor in several different ways. I used to live in Russellville, Alabama, when these ladies were, they were girls. And Brother Lee was preaching for the Washington Avenue congregation. And they were supporting me in the county as I went about teaching and preaching. And I also had a class on Wednesday night at Washington Avenue. But back then, we had what some of you young folks have never seen. We had tent meetings. And no air conditioning. Not even a fan. Oh, this kind. But I went to hold a meeting in the place, I guess, as far out in the woods as I've ever been to preach the gospel. I remember an unusual situation. It was out close to a store, grocery store, called Long John's Grocery. And on the side of that building, there was a list of names. And before the names, there was this statement: these people will not pay their bills. I thought that was a very unusual way of getting at it, but very direct. And I'm sure that folks would be anxious to have their name removed from that list or not ever get up there. But close by, somebody had agreed to let us use a cow pasture. And we put up a tent. And people came out to hear the gospel. And I remember especially one young lady because of the fact that I'd been, during that same week, I had been teaching a vacation Bible school class. And she'd been coming with her mother-in-law, and she was not a Christian. And on the last day, on a Friday, she came to me and asked me some questions. Well, during the class, she asked me some questions. Then after it was over with, she would say, "Well, you said," I said, "Now wait a minute. Let's look at what the Bible said." And we talk about that. And he said, "Well, but you said," "Let's look at the Bible again." And every time she said that, then I would simply refer her to the scripture, what God said about it. And I didn't know. She went away. But on Friday night, up there on the mountain in rural Franklin County, when the invitation song was sung, that young lady responded to the gospel. And so that stands out in my mind as being a very moving and meaningful experience for me. But I was moved by the fact that people were coming out there in the middle of a cow pasture under that tent and listening to the gospel. They didn't come to hear me because who was I? You know, but they should come to hear Bill Lambert. Well, John the Baptist did his preaching out in the wilderness. And people flocked to hear him preach. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Not only was he a fellow who preached out in the wilderness, he didn't have on the latest clothes, the latest style. He dressed himself in camel's hair and a leather girdle, bind his clothes together. And eating something that I don't think I would care for. I'd like the second part of it, but not the first, locust and wild honey. Matthew 3, verse 4, the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Well, there was a fella who was preaching out in the wilderness. We would say that he dressed like a bum, and he called religious people to be baptized, but he called them a brood of vipers because of the fact that they had forsaken God. He was trying to call the Jews back to God. He wasn't going out here and preaching to a bunch of heathens. He didn't know anything about God. He was talking to people who knew about God, but who had forsaken Him. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 7. Then went out to Him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of Him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why, He wasn't just calling them names because of the fact that, you know, He just decided He wanted to badmouth them. It's because of the fact that they were not only forsaking God themselves, but being the leaders of the Jews, they were leading others away from God and keeping them from entering into the kingdom of heaven. I don't think we would have listened to John if we get upset by having traveled some distance to hear the gospel. Some folks, you know, won't even come across the street. If somebody comes to them, maybe, well, if they could turn on their television and there's not something else more challenging to their minds, they might tune in on a religious program and may even hear somebody preach the true gospel of Christ. But we wouldn't listen to John if we get upset about having to travel some distance to study God's Word. Consider what Jesus said over in the 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 42. He says, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Sometimes people become more concerned about the kinds of clothing that a preacher is wearing, whether or not he's a sharp dresser. I know I'm not. So let's just get over that. But there's some people who really, you know, Brother so-and-so comes, he looks so slouchy. You know, I just can't keep my mind on the message because of that. On the other hand, there may be some, and this right here to me would be more likely the class I'd fall into. I have a hard time keeping my mind on the message because of the fact that the fellow was so flashy, you couldn't concentrate on his message. You kept considering what he was wearing that way. Well, we wouldn't listen to John if we tend to judge people by the clothes they wear. If we follow the philosophy of dress for success. Do you ever see any of these fellows on television dressed anything like John was dressed, or even in work clothes or what have you? Casual clothes? Not usually. Not usually. They're usually very sharp. Probably wearing $500 or $600 suits. People look at that and they think, got to listen to this fellow. We need to remember God's perspective. God does not look on the outward appearance, so why should we? Why should that be of great concern to us? When there was going to be a successor, eventually, to Saul, Samuel was sort of going through the various ones, and it came to one, and here's what he said. Here's what the Lord said unto Samuel. Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. He's not the one. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. James talked about people who would have favoritism and partiality because of the fact that someone might have the appearance of wealth. And sometimes we may think, well, you know, the wealthy person is the one we need to go after. That's sort of the attitude that apparently some had, of whom James spoke over in James the second chapter, verses 1-4. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? We probably wouldn't have heard the message that was preached by John if we tend to judge people by their physical appearance. We probably wouldn't have listened to him, would not have gotten the message, if we're the kind of people who get our feelings hurt whenever someone who's trying to help us points out our faults and seeks to help us to correct those faults. Some would not have a preacher who ever preached a negative, what they call negative sermon. But even Jesus demonstrated that sometimes the occasion calls very strong language. You know, you're ahead of me. You know what I'm going to say. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, when he says, beginning in verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Well, what about that one who was supposed to be a follower of Jesus, but who was a hypocrite? The fisherman who had come to follow Jesus, the Apostle Peter. He was a man whose country ways perhaps demonstrated his lack of formal religious training. In Acts 4, chapter and verse 13, now when they saw, but it's talking about the people listening to what Peter and John had to say, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. What did they find out? What did they discover? That they had been with Jesus. This man, follower of the Lord, willing to forsake his nets and boats and become a fisher of men, denied Jesus three times in the 26th chapter of Matthew. We read about him. Three different times people kept, you were with him? Oh, no, you're mistaken. And on one occasion it says he cursed and swore and said, I know not the man. I don't even know him. Denying the Lord. Jesus had already told him he was going to do it. When he was so bold to say, Lord, you can count on me. But when it came to it, when it came down to it, and Peter had the finger pointed at him and said, "You're one of them. You were with him. You're his disciple." Peter said, "I don't know. Don't know him." On one occasion, he divided a group of people by his hypocrisy. Paul had come to Antioch, and also Peter had shown up there. Galatians, the second chapter, we read about this. Paul is recounting it. He says, "But when Peter," this is the 11th verse, "when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas, was carried away with their dissimulation or their hypocrisy." Would we have been willing to listen to Peter preach? It's unlikely that we would if we expect a man to be formally educated before we want him to be a preacher for us, or before we'd even listen to him. How many letters does he have after his name? In some churches, a preacher is required to have a degree to be considered acceptable. As a matter of fact, in some churches, one would have to have a certain degree from a certain college. And I suggest to you that can go even with what we call sometimes conservative churches. But you know, there are those who have been educated in some of the prestigious places. I didn't get my Bible to the right place here. I want to look at the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, writing to these folks, tells about the kind of thing that men might learn, but that learning is not in the right direction. Not of the kinds of things that need to be known. Beginning in the 18th verse, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message, preached, to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Those things that men might teach are not necessarily the kinds of things that need to be taught in the pulpit. And some have lost their faith. I can remember, as I was growing up, I remember hearing about some young men who had been powerful preachers and very promising, and people just thought they had great prospects ahead of them to preach the gospel and being able to influence men and women to serve the Lord. They decided they needed a PhD. Two brothers. Well, they got their PhD, but they also got their LOST because they began to preach error. And others have done the same. And we know of some in this county who've gone on to higher learning who have left the faith. No longer preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Man doesn't have to be educated in the ways of the world and the thoughts and the philosophies of men to preach the gospel of Christ. Here was this man, Peter, unlearned, but he could preach the gospel. And he did so fearlessly. Those things that were taught by Peter about forgiveness. You know, Peter had a question. He asked the Lord, if my brother sins against me and he comes to me and asks me to forgive him, well, how many times do I have to forgive him? Jesus said, he asks it till 7 times. Perfect number, you know, 7. If I do it that many times, that'll take care of it, won't it? Jesus said, if it happens 70 times 7, you still be willing to forgive him. In Luke 17, Jesus taught verses 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What about this fellow that was preaching back there in the first century, who had gone about killing folks, or at least lending his voice against them whenever they were on trial for being Christians? And he was notorious for that. He became the Apostle Paul. But in his early life, he was known as Saul, but he was also known and recognized later by himself to be a persecutor and a blasphemer. And he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13 concerning himself. He says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And Paul admits that he was not a good speaker. He wasn't fluent. There are a lot of glib, fluent speakers in our world today. And I'm sure in the day of Paul, when the orator was highly respected, there would be those who would look at Paul and others of his kind who did not speak well. And Paul says concerning himself, I'm not a good speaker. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 and 4, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Not only that, but Paul apparently had something about his physical appearance that made him appear to be weak. I don't know what it was. I know that we might get into a discussion as to what his thorn in the flesh was and exactly how it affected him. And, well, that's been debated many times. But something about him must have impressed some folks negatively, physically, his physical appearance. Because in Luke 17, excuse me, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 and 4, well, excuse me again, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 10, this is what some were saying about Paul. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Would we have been willing to hear the message of the man who was that way? I doubt if we would have kindly received the message that was preached by him if we are prone to think back to a man's pre-condition before he became a Christian. Oh, let me tell you, I knew him back when. They begin to tell you all those things that were true about him. And Paul admits, freely admits, things that he was guilty of in the past. Such people who do that must not believe in the power of the gospel to transform the lives of people. Those folks over there at Corinth that Paul wrote to, he said in verse 9 through 11 in 1 Corinthians 6, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Do you think Paul was a polished speaker? No. And some folks would be unwilling to hear the message of Paul if they are the kind of folks who expect the speaker to have a high degree of polish. Polish. Many people will not go to hear preachers who may be young or inexperienced or who are not eloquent. And some may be willing to go hear the young who are not willing to go hear those who are older, more experienced, and of greater knowledge. But Paul says that the smooth words and the flattering speeches can be used to deceive people, to lead them astray. And that happened then and it happens now. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We might not be willing to hear Paul if we be the kind of people who are affected by a person's physical appearance, his size, if he's fat, if he's thin, if he maybe has a limp, whatever. You know, people weren't too concerned about one of the great leaders of our nation in the past. Abraham Lincoln was not one who would have been considered presidential material. And, of course, he was defeated first time he ever ran for office. Eventually, though, he became the president of the United States. We can't go by a man's physical appearance. We need to remember that God's perspective. Remember what he said to Samuel? Don't pay any attention to his physical appearance. I look on the heart. Well, what I'm suggesting is how we receive people today, and the message that is preached from the gospel is a strong indication as to whether or not we would have been willing to receive John or Peter or Paul or even Jesus for that matter. Many of the folks didn't want to hear Jesus. That's when it's said that a man is not without honor save in his own country. We like to think that we would have been quick to listen. Oh, if we'd been back there, boy, we would really like to hear that message that was being preached by Paul. And how great it would be to sit at the feet of Peter or of John or of Jesus. But here's the way we can determine whether or not we would have responded favorably then. How have we responded and how do we respond today? Now, one thing is sure. If we are unwilling to obey the Lord now, we wouldn't have done it then. We wouldn't have done it then. What about you? Have you responded to the Lord's invitation? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You recognize that you are in sin, that you are laden with sin. It's a burden. You may not know it. You may not recognize it. But it's a burden that you cannot shake off. Only with the Lord's help, through obedience to the gospel, can your sins be taken away. If you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and you're willing to repent of your sin and confess his name, be buried with him in baptism, then you can have those sins taken away. You've done that, but you've done like many of those Jews did, knowing God, but you've slipped away from your faithfulness, from your godly living, and you become entangled and enmeshed in those things that are worldly. Or you just become negligent. You need to come back. Lord loves you. We love you. And we invite you to come while we're standing and sing our song.